It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. I'll tell you what, it was, man, it was a great NFL Sunday yesterday. Maybe the best of the year. The week is going to wrap up tonight with a game that on paper doesn't look great. Houston-Dallas, but I guess you never know what may end up happening. Right now, we're happy to be able to go to the guest line, and we welcome on to the program someone who covers the NFL for multiple outlets, including NFL Network, SiriusXM. He is Michael Yam. You follow him on Twitter at Mike_Yam. Mike, thanks so much for taking some time with us today. How are you?
Yeah, Matt, always appreciate the invite, man. And you're right. It, on paper, this looks a certain way, this type of game, but there is a reason why they play it, and who knows? Maybe Dallas does figure something out.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? Anytime things are going really, really bad, it feels like teams at some point are able to kind of, like, jump out of it. But maybe it hasn't gotten to its worst yet for the Cowboys. I don't know.
No, I'm with you. You know what's kind of crazy about this conversation? I was talking to a buddy of mine the other day, and he said, you know, the line should just hammer the Jags, right? And I'm like, yeah, I mean, this thing should be a bloodbath. It shouldn't be closed. And then the two of us started, like, just catching up about, you know, the teams and the rosters and the personnel. And obviously, Trevor Lawrence not playing, but Mac Jones has got starting experience. And we're sitting there going, can you imagine if? And then there's, like, that actual belief that, hey, maybe it could happen. I'm not suggesting that's the case tonight from a Dallas perspective, because I think Houston's playing for a lot right now. You know, the fact that they've had some stumbles, the fact that they could have five interceptions in a game against Jared Goff and still lose that game, those are the types of things where I think if I'm D'Amico Ryans, I'm pointing to, I'm saying, look, as we are in a funk right now, and this is an opportunity against a beaten-up Dallas Cowboys team that really shouldn't be in this game. Houston is a superior team. They have a superior roster. Their defense is better. And without Dak Prescott out on the football field, I don't know if they're in a running game that's been non-existent for most of this season. I just don't know the compelling argument for how you craft something based off of the evidence that says, hey, the Cowboys should win this game.
You've alluded to the Lions twice already, and with their big win yesterday combined with Kansas City's loss, Detroit is now the Super Bowl favorite, by according to most sports books. Are the Lions the best team in the NFL?
Yeah, I lean that way, and I've leaned that way for a few weeks right now. I know even before the Kansas City loss, people were pointing to that team. I just wasn't necessarily sold. I think the Chiefs, obviously, if they win the Super Bowl this year, no one is going to be surprised by that. But I just think through the first, you know, weeks of the season, they've been playing with fire. You know, during, you know, the undefeated run, they had eight comeback wins during that stretch. I mean, that to me speaks volumes. They're not dominating teams. I think the Lions have shown they can beat you different ways. They can beat you in a game where Jared Goff doesn't throw for 100 yards. They can beat you in a game where he throws five interceptions. They can beat you, you know, defensively where you know, their defense is not only creating turnovers but scoring. They can beat you in a special teams way. I think top to bottom, you know, that roster looks great. Now, once again, I think Kansas City is in that mix. I've been called out by some of my colleagues at NFL Network as I've been a Ravens defender. I think Baltimore still, on paper to me, has arguably the best roster in the NFL. And, you know, had they not had, you know, a fumble from Derrick Henry on the opening drive, two missed field goals and a missed two-point conversion, you know, they beat Pittsburgh on the road on Sunday. So I think the Ravens are in the mix. I think Buffalo's got to be in that conversation. But to me, the Lions right now have shown to at least me, and I think the rest of the NFL world, that they are on paper right now probably the best team to in the league.
So yesterday, between two games, you had four teams that are all AFC championship game contenders. Ravens, Steelers one, Chiefs, Bills the other. You had a fantastic comeback from the Bengals on Sunday Night Football. The Chargers eventually win that game. The Packers-Bears game, the finish to that, a walk-off block, is just crazy. Does it get any better from start to finish for an NFL Sunday than what we saw yesterday?
No, how awesome. And by the way, Matt, doesn't it feel like every year we're talking about results like this, talking about these crazy finishes coming down to the wire? I wish I knew. I'd forgotten stat. Last season, just the margin of victory. I mean, we were talking about a ridiculous amount of one-possession games. This season, same conversation that we're having. And candidly, even last night, and I know you mentioned it, but you know, at halftime, I'm sitting there going, Cincinnati ain't winning this game. Like, that's not going to happen for this team. And the run that they went on, I thought Collinsworth put it best, and I actually feel bad because I do a bunch of different shows at NFL Network, and Cincinnati's a team that I've been high on all year, and I've been disappointed, and I've tried to come up with the reasoning behind some of these close losses. But last night, for them to lose the way that they did, it not only is heartbreaking, but I don't know the path for them. I know the schedule lightens up, but they're going to need so much help to get into the postseason. But to your point, it's been an awesome year watching these games.
And I feel bad for the Bengals too, because they get that win. Man, they are right there. There's a path for them to get there, and they're a very scary team going into the playoffs. Instead, I hate to put all the blame on a kicker, but you got a kicker who misses a couple field goals. Either one of them would have probably won the game for them, and we're having this conversation today.
You know what's wild about some of these end of game situations? The kicking game, we've almost taken for granted that these guys are executing, because when I was growing up, a 50 yarder was like, whoa, that's insane. Now you got dudes that are going plus 50, and it looks easy. Mm-hmm. And then I've seen some performances. Look, Justin Tucker, one of those guys, we've talked about him as maybe the best kicker in NFL history. He's had a little bit of a rough season. Young Wei Koo with the Falcons has had some misses, which have broken my heart a little bit. And then last night, to your point, to close out, but then also to get an opportunity late in that game. They got the ball back, and I'm thinking, oh, Joe Cool's going to deliver in this game, and they still lose. And I think, to me, that's what, is the sign also of being a good team. Like, when the Chiefs were running this season before yesterday's loss, I'm sitting there, and I made this analogy to a couple friends of mine. I was like, it feels like the Yankees of the 90s when they're winning these World Series, right? Like, all of these things that need to happen and go in their favor are just sort of dropping into their lap. And that was how the Chiefs season has gone so far this season. But the good teams figure out ways to get it done. And the Chargers last night against Cincinnati, with their backs against the wall, they got it done.
We spend so much time talking Chiefs, Bills, Steelers, Ravens in the AFC. That Chargers team is going to be a tough out in the playoffs, assuming they get there.
Oh, man. Tell me the squad that is not going to be scared going up against that team. I know you obviously watched the game, and I'm sure a lot of the guys listening right now and the gals that are listening who are paying attention. Did you guys notice that defense is swarming? Mm-hmm. They do not miss tackles. It felt like every time a guy had a reception, first of all, Joe Burrow was under duress, so I give a ton of credit to the pressure that the Chargers were able to generate, but it just felt like they were everywhere. And it reminded me a little bit of the Ravens defense from last season. They look fast. They don't miss tackles. It's swarming to the football. They play this thing dirty. And Justin Herbert all of a sudden is starting to find a little bit of a groove here. And that running game is strong. Like, the Chargers are, I think the Chargers and the Eagles are probably the two teams that we don't talk enough about nationally. I think there's some people that might push back maybe on the Eagles thing. But, in my mind, I just sort of felt like the Eagles were a little forgotten. I think now, because of Saquon's performances, they're becoming a little bit more discussed.
Well, they have a track record too. Like, that's a smart organization. And I know they only won two of their first four games, but haven't they earned, and don't they deserve a little bit of grace even if they have a 2-2 start?
Totally. And on top of that, think about the injuries that team has had to overcome. And look, there's every team, and people will be like, Mike, every team in the NFL's got injuries. I get that. But there's some teams that completely collapse. And I'm not saying that was the case for them. In fact, they started winning once they got healthy again. But I give a lot of credit to a team like Tampa Bay. I mean, tell me the team that can navigate the amount of injuries to key personnel at the skill position spot and still make it interesting. Now, they haven't won these games, and I get that. But my God, like, down the stretch, they have an opportunity. And I think there's a lot of teams in the NFL that don't have the moxie, don't have the mental fortitude, and really the depth to compete when stars go down. And once again, I get it. Tampa Bay hasn't won some of these games, but they're an organization that I point to that says, hey, not folding, and had an opportunity to win some of these matchups, even without the likes of Evans and Godwin.
Last thing for you, we're talking with Michael Yam, NFL Network. The Giants announced that Daniel Jones is being benched, their quarterback. He goes to their third string spot. They do that to protect themselves against injury so they can get out from under that contract at the end of the season. But they go to Tommy DeVito as opposed to Drew Locke. We've seen some good things from Locke during his career. Is this a combination tank job and also protection job with Jones. Like, just the way this whole decision process goes on, it feels like this isn't what's the best for the NFL.
Yeah, Matt, I'm the worst person to ask this question to, because when you bring up the Giants, there's like the fan cap that I'm trying to take off while I answer this question, because I grew up in northern New Jersey and I went to school and college in New York. So I'm a Giants fan, and this has been tough. I'd be lying if I said to you, like, I'm okay with them getting a really high draft pick. And, you know, hopefully they're going to be able to, you know, pick one of these top ranked quarterbacks, whether it's a Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders. I think there's, you know, a pretty decent chance that, and they're going to be picking in that top three, and I'll have their say. You know, that said, look, Tommy Cutlets is a great story. You know, went to high school, you know, one of my rival high schools, just not too far from Giant Stadium in New Jersey. But, you know, to me, I think the one thing that the league really thrives on is, you know, having its stars out there. And the problem is right now that there's just so many questions around what this offense could look like. And I think there's going to be changes in New York. I'd be heartbroken if Brian Daboll loses his job. And I know the job that Joe Shane has done, he's under the microscope because of the way Saquon Barkley has played and them not being able to get there. The only pushback, and once again, I wanted them to get a deal done with Saquon. They made it.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
They made multiple offers and they couldn't, it didn't get done with Saquon. He's playing the best football of his entire career. Like, this looks like, you know, a better version of 2018 Saquon, which makes all of this conversation tougher. But Daniel Jones, there's been times where I don't think it's his fault on the football field. And there are other times that there's these head-scratching moments. But I do wish that, you know, the Giants hopefully are just in a situation to compete at a high level. And Daboll's got to feel like, you know what, maybe Tommy Cutlets gives us the best chance.
Michael Yam covers the NFL, NFL Network, SiriusXM on Twitter, at Mike_Yam. Mike, appreciate you taking some time. This is great stuff. Hopefully we can catch up again in the future.
Anytime. Really appreciate it, Matt. Thanks again.
Awesome. Very good. That's Michael Yam joining us on the program. Appreciate him spending a moment or so with us. Again, I thought yesterday was great. I thought yesterday was one of those days where you just sit down on the couch and you watch good game after, and you finally get to the final game, Sunday Night Football, and it looks like it's going to be a stinker, and then boom, the Bengals turn it on, and that just turned into an amazing game with great drama. Like, sometimes we like to talk about, like, when one team gets up really big and then the other team makes a big comeback, that's a great game. A lot of times those aren't actually great games. It's a great comeback, but it's a stinker of a game because one team is up by a ton and then another team slowly but surely gets back into it, but they're only into it, really back into it. It's only like a competitive game for the final few moments of the game. That's not a good game. There's good moments, a good comeback. The thing that was interesting about Sunday Night Football last night was it was the scenario where one team gets up big and the other team starts coming back, but it truly turned into a great game because you had the drama of the missed kicks. You had each team with opportunities late with drives. You know, Cincinnati did just enough, I guess, there in the first half kind of to make you feel like maybe they could do something. So that turned into a great game as well. It was a great day in the NFL yesterday. One more break. We will come back and we'll wrap up hour number one of the program. My name is Matt Pauley. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.